which is brilliant. Can I pray? Do you mind? Jesus, we just ask that you can, I pray that any words coming out of my mouth can be from you. Lord, if there's anything that comes out that's not of you, Lord, I pray you can make it disappear. Lord, I just ask that we can learn something this morning, all of us. Amen. Just want to set the scene, really. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So who sinned, the blind man or his parents? So he was born blind. John 9. As he went along, Jesus that is, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this has happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I believe the reason for the disciples' question is the concern not to think of God who would allow evil on innocent people. It can be tied up with a concept of why does God allow suffering? But at least hope to expand a bit of context to give a fuller picture. The question raised is it's related to the customary view of the old Judaism, which was that there was a direct cause and effect relationship between established in suffering and sin. That was the relationship. It's a direct cause. That happened, so therefore you suffered. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So if I sinned against God, my children will suffer because of it. And that is the understanding from this scripture. Which does. But then there's other scriptures as well which does declare that the sin of a father does not pass down. So Ezekiel 18:20 says, the one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. So which one is it? Well, Jesus answered the question, didn't he? It's not really a no-brainer that I've got to expound much on that. But Jesus answered that particular question, which was, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Jesus said, but it's happened so the works of God may be displayed in him. So it wasn't the parents' sin. Parents' sin caused that suffering, that blindness. But God can use that situation to give him the glory. And this man's life's changed. But I want to give you a bit of a picture. Really, the overview of God and his character and his creation. I've been in Bible studies probably 18 years ago where with the name's gone, but a lovely lady, and she was saying, I don't get it. The God of the Old Testament is different to the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament doesn't care. He just sits on a throne with a big beard and he judges everyone. Whereas Jesus loves everyone. They're different. No, they're the same. They are the same. But context must always be there. We read in Genesis 3, at the fall of mankind, the fall of the human race, as we, I'm generalising and not saying you was there and no one's that old, but we rejected God, who made everything perfect. Everything was perfect around us. But look at today. Look at today. Look at the videos we watch today. It is not perfect out there, is it? How many have rejected God and His guidance, His word, His guidance for living a holy, righteous life? The Bible. The Bible says there's only one way to reach God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And as a nation, we have, I think as a nation, as a world, we have rejected our Creator. He gives us everything. Everything that we have is from Him. It's a strange concept to get your head around. But everything we have is from Him. He gave enough resources in the world to feed everyone. He gave enough air. So we've got air in our lungs. He gave enough life. He gave us, you know, like as humans, we think we're amazing in creating new things. Truth is, we just copy God, you know, but we try to make these supercomputers. Our human brain is superior to any computer. It's complex, the brain, but it's amazing. It gives us the atmosphere in the air. It gives us the seasons. It gives us the planet we live on that sustains us. And we do try and spend our lives mimicking God. But as a world, we fail to give Him the glory. And we do. We live in a world where things are happening all around us. There was perfection in the garden, but we wanted to do it our own way. And it's the same today. There should be no child in the world that goes hungry. There shouldn't, should there? There shouldn't be no child in the world that hasn't got running water or anybody in the world. You know, when the more I thought about this, the injustice just got me that we have people suffering in the world. And it shouldn't happen. But we live in a fallen world. And the trouble with a fallen world is we got involved. Not me personally, but we, as a nation, you know, countries around the world, they do have wealth. I was at a conference yesterday in Dartford, and there's a guy up there, he's a senior pastor of six churches, two of them are in Zimbabwe. And two of them, the churches there are in the poorest area of Zimbabwe. And they'd spent 6 years teaching this church, it's only a handful in a hut, it's teaching them the philosophy or the belief that, not philosophy, the belief that if you teach a man to fish, rather than give him a fish, he'll feed for the rest of his life, every day. 6 years invested in this group. And what happened last year or the year before, the whole economy crashed, he was telling us. And they had $600, which they'd accumulated in this really poor area. And he said the whole economy crashed, and it was worth peanuts. And he went out, and they expected him to come and save them. And it said, what can I do? I can give you money, but you need to be able to live that life and do that. But how did that economy crash? Well, the economy crashed because of man. because of greed, because of war, because of sad things. And it become, I mean, these guys are living in a hut, living in this church's hut. It's got no water. It's got running water. It's got a well, but there's no electric. It's very humbling to think that I was sitting there thinking, oh, where's the PA system? Where's the wireless mic? Where's the electric musical instruments? And it's like, no, it was different. It's not like that, Chris. There's so much, when you look around the world, of issues with economies failing. And it's so easy to blame God. Is it God? I don't think so. I think man's got involved. I think that greed's got involved. It's so sad. You know, as a country, like where we live now, we're like one of the richest countries in the world. Well, wherever we are on the list, we are one of the most powerful countries in the world. But we still have hunger. We still have to have food banks. We still have children who have to go to clubs to get fed during school holidays. And this is real. And in a world, in a country that declares that we have everything together. We have elderly that are lonely. But we have running water. We have electric. But they're good questions. But the truth is, the society we live in wants to teach us that more possessions mean that we get richer. Truth is, and this is a real truth, we do not teach our children to budget. The truth is, we set a bar up here that if you want to make it in life, this is what you've got to get to. Whether it be a nice house, plenty of food, whatever the bar is that we set in society. Like, I was so wound up the other day, right? I was so wound up, right? We went to Susie's, she's had gallbladder problems since March. And we went to the hospital. She had another appointment with a consultant. Now, when she booked her appointment, the only hospital available was Springfield, which is private but paid for by the NHS. And we thought, wow, what a blessing. Well, there's no movement. Yeah, we went to the hospital. I said, you can't, we're going to send you for 3 more scans. She's in pain every day, but 3 more scans. And it's like, okay, the doctor said it'll be sorted in weeks. Don't worry, it'll be weeks. We went downstairs to book an appointment for the next scan, and he said, oh, that's a month. We can't give you an appointment for a month because we need to get funding. And it just, I walked out of the hospital because I thought, this isn't fair. Why should money define whether someone gets medical care? I'm moaning. I shouldn't moan. We all do it, yeah, good. The thing is, what makes a person is not them things that the world says makes you a person or us a person. What makes us a person is what God says about us. God created us to love. He didn't create us God created us to love. And the second greatest commandment that God said was that we should love our neighbours as ourselves. That's love. So some examples. Why does a teacher teach? A teacher teaches because they want to see a young person develop, moulded, to be able to go out into life. A teacher doesn't think, I'm going to earn the most money? I hope so. A nurse, a most undervalued member of society, as such. Yeah, they want a nurse not because I want to earn loads of money, they want a nurse because they want to help people. It's true. If we lived in a fair and just world, I'd pay nurses what footballers get. But the world is upside down, isn't it? In that way. So what God intended for his creation and what we have become are slightly two different things. Because of rebelling against God. God is always sovereign. And we must never forget that. God always has, he knows what's going to happen. His ways are greater than our ways. Always. But left to our own devices, we seem to find a way of corrupting things to bring ourselves glory. It sounds like I'm beating you all up. I'm not actually beating yous up. I'm just saying as I felt God lead, but there's good news coming. There has to be good news, doesn't there? But there is a way. We have a way, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only hope that this world has. The thing about Jesus in comparison to our mindset, he looks at the heart. He looks at our hearts, and that's what I'm going to change. That's what I'm going to work on, the heart. And how do I know? Well, that book, this book says that Jesus come down to the earth from heaven. He come down to give his life for us. He was fully human, but he was also God. He lived, he gave the world the greatest teaching that he's ever known. The teaching of this book that Jesus spoke is foundational for civilizations. And if we followed that teaching, there would be no hunger. Because when someone's in need, I'm going to give them, I've got a coat, so I'm going to a spare coat, so I'm going to give that other coat away. I'm going to walk the extra mile. Jesus looked at us and said, this is what you need. God saw that we were stuck and we need him. But due to his holiness, we cannot connect him any other way other than through Jesus. We cannot connect to God on our own. We need Jesus. This morning, I mean, we're all sinners, aren't we? Yeah. We all don't think, we do things wrong all the time. We ignore God, yeah. This morning at 4:35, God woke me up, right? And he said, we need to work on your talk, Chris. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. So I rolled over, looked at my phone, checked out Facebook, right? There was a 7-minute answer phone message that someone had pocket called me, so I listened for 7 minutes to see if I could find out who it was, because there was no name. Well, I was like, okay. And then I laid down for another half an hour, then I got up. Yeah, even today, I've been disobedient to God. Romans 3:23 says that, for we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our ways fall short of his holiness. So what do we do with Jesus? What do we do with Christ? Truth is, when Jesus turns up, you can either ignore him or accept him. But the consequences for ignoring him, well, there are consequences for ignoring him. If you accept him, I mean, he's offering us grace, isn't he? How wonderful is grace? You know, that thing I did this morning, he reminds me of it. Says, oh, Chris, what did you do? But how amazing that he then says, I forgive you. I think it's brilliant. So if you accept him, we repent of wrongdoing where we've offended God. I mean, for me, I grabbed him with both hands. Did you? He come and offered something to us, but grabbed with both hands because it's the only way that life could be. Do you ever look back over your life and think, what would you have been like? I wondered if I'd be in prison for killing my children. There's so many things I can look at that I'm not going to share, that I can look at in my own life and think, oh man, things might have been different. That scares me, because I'm not perfect now. You know, far from it. But Jesus Christ is the greatest human ever. There's more than that. He was God who come down from heaven. You don't have to be perfect to accept him either, because if it's not about being religious, is it? It's not, is it? It's a bad word, really. People always say that to you, don't you? You're religious. Are you? Or do you have faith? I have faith. Some of the promises of God. Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Do you know, go on for days. The promises of God of what he's like when he's with you. But I'm going to conclude. I think that Jesus answered the question of, was it the parents' sin who caused that man's blindness? Very direct and leaves no room for misinterpretation. But it's good to see the context of why the question was asked and the effects of sin on the world. Just to say that I'm not saying that just because you're a Christian you should be poor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have nice things. Just put that out there. Because, you know, God gives... We're a body. We all look different. We all do different things. Some will be able to give time. Some will have to give money. We're all different. So I'm not saying... I'm never going to say that Jesus said we should be poor. But I am saying that what we have, we give. We share what we can. It's about honouring him. We live in a world that... So, just to say that I'm... If it means sharing a coat, as I said, sharing a coat is good. I've got a coat which I don't wear. But the trouble is, people don't want a second-hand coat, do they? They want a new one. If it means giving to the poor, then do you know what? We do it. If it means volunteering at a homeless shelter, we do it. If it means helping with a food bank, we do it. If it means standing up for those who are less fortunate, we do it. Because you are the voice. Wherever you go, you represent Jesus. So that might mean standing up to things of the world. That might mean standing up for a colleague. But God's placed you there for a reason. We live in a world that has rejected God, but God calls us to be different. And so my prayer today is that we don't miss them opportunities. I want to hear them words when I get to heaven. Yeah, well done, good and faithful servant. That I've done what God asked me to do. Imagine he's going to say some other stuff to me about what I didn't do. But I was pretty touched yesterday. I mean, it's good to hear what Andy's doing with Hope for Justice. And I was pretty touched yesterday at conference. There was a guy who, the church there in Dartford, the OG, they visited it. They sponsored, the guys running it, they sponsored like 5 Compassion Children, something like that. They went out to Ethiopia to visit the children. had come back and pushed on the church and said, look, you know what? We should sponsor 300. And they did. So that's £90,000 a year. It's like, wow. Because £25 a month makes a huge difference. It might be a takeaway in this country, but in other countries, it might mean the difference between an education and not an education. So I was blown away by that willingness that we're going to do it. So today, two responses really. I thought there'd be a non-Christian here today. That's what I felt God saying. But I'm looking around the room. But if there is someone who's not a Christian here, I think you're all Christians. So have to leave that one there then. But the response is, if you want some prayer, have some prayer, you know. It's good to pray together. It's good to encourage one another. It's good to be together. It's good sometimes to repent. Sometimes it's nice to repent to someone you don't know that well. But yeah, if you want to get right with God, if you're not right with God today, I know we say it at communion, but you know, have an opportunity to get some prayer. If you don't, absolutely fine, we've offered. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And this is what we always need to remember. The devil may whisper in your ear that you're a bad person. You don't do this right, you do this wrong. But you're in Christ, and there's no condemnation in Christ. Just going to pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are a God who reached out to us. Lord, I thank you that there's things I don't understand, but you do. I thank you that you only give us enough for the day. Lord, I thank you that you give us the train ticket just before we get on the train rather than months before. And Lord, so this morning, I just want to thank you for being such an amazing God. Lord, you have all the honour, you have all the glory. And Lord Jesus, help us to be them witnesses. Help us to be the light in the community. Amen.